For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. It's another exciting episode of Punch Drunk Sports.
Hi.
When you thought it was over, back in the saddle for an exciting week of UFC fights. I'm very excited.
How's that for advertising?
Lot of stuff to get into. How are you guys?
Solid. Jew, how are you? You look extremely comfortable and you're wearing clothing.
Yeah, look at you laying back.
You're wearing clothes.
Yeah, you know, once in a while.
You look like you're in an H&M catalog.
No, stand up. What kind of pants are you talking about here?
Well, it's a lot of dick.
Pants, dick.
Where'd you get that clothes, Ari? Where'd you get the clothes? Where'd you go shopping?
This is REI, and the pants were from somewhere like 5 years ago.
Nice. You still fit in your five-year-old pants. I like that. For some reason, I always rip my crotch in my pants.
Me too.
Probably because I'm fat.
Big
guys, let's get into the show. A lot of stuff to get about. Last week's episode, more Twitter traffic than we've ever gotten on any episode. Not going to get into it. Because Tebow and I talked about it, and it's a lot more, and we're over it, and then move on, and it's done. That's all I got to say about it.
The listeners want to know.
Well, you know.
What went on?
Basically, Tebow and I talked about it, and it's fucking over, and we're cool, and it is what it is.
Tell the fans that they're not
I just
over
did,
it.
Ari. That's what I just said. I just told the fans.
And sometimes
you and Tebow talked about it.
Yeah,
yeah. I tweeted that too.
Do you think that'll help them understand what happened last week?
I mean, I think people just get in bad moods.
I think people have been, people see me and Tebow for 2 hours a week. They don't realize it's a 15-year relationship and that there's a lot of history and there's a lot of love and there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, once in a while, shit comes to a head. And that's where it's at. I just want to say, though, thank you for all the avalanche of negativity thrown at me by people that listen to something I've been doing for 4 years for free. I mean, it was amazing the negative comments I fucking got. So I just want to say that made me feel great.
And I got a new nickname from Twitter because of all of this.
What's that? I like that, though.
DNB Teeb. Do nothing, bitch, Teeb.
So that's like my whole thing. It's really amazing how you do something for free and you really work your ass off.
Before you blew up on Tebow, what was going through your head when you first started blowing up? Because I didn't hear, you had already shut me off by the time you were like slapping Tebow with the mic stand. But like before
I didn't
that.
I slapped with the mic stand.
Did you hit him with the mic stand?
No, I didn't.
No.
Mic cord, I guess?
No.
Before you apologized for Tebow, like what happened before that?
I didn't apologize to Tebow.
Oh, you didn't apologize to him?
No, I did. But we also had a big conversation, and there were a lot of things.
What was going on in there, in that head, in that Armenian head, that made you suddenly get up?
Ari?
Yeah.
I've said what I want to say on the situation.
I mean, as a fan of
keep asking this. Keep using the homicide detective way of asking the same thing a different way a thousand times.
I'm just, as a fan of this show, I was just wondering what happened where suddenly a guy walks off in the middle. I just wanted to know what was
going on. I don't know, Ari. Like, you know. When you walked off before, what was that like? It's the same thing. You get frustrated with a friend you've been a friend with for a long time, and you just want to walk off.
Nah. Here, when I shut it down, it's because you interrupted me twice in the middle of a conversation, and then you said you were sorry, and then in the middle of a sentence, we got a caller. And I was
all
like,
right, good times, good times. That's not what happened. So, anyway, that was really nice revisionist history
I was frustrated by that, so I said, so, fuck this. You're not going to listen to me.
The thing I want to talk about
that's
right now
be here.
Is
so that's my explanation.
Devastating
so that's my answer to your question. So now answer my question. What was going through your head?
Andrew Mata. by the Punch Drunk family. What a supporter and love. Some of you guys don't know him, but if you were in L.A., you knew about Andrew Mata. He came to all the shows, all the Death Squad shows. He was such a warm and loving human being, and it's a giant loss to the Punch Drunk family that this guy was suddenly taken for us. I'm devastated by it. I think when I heard about it, I could not believe it. For me, it's like it brings up the old feeling when we lost Angelo Bowers. Like, what a horrible loss of such an amazing person, and it's really sad that this guy is gone. So I'm really am deeply devastated right now by the loss of him, and my thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his wonderful girlfriend who was very supportive of all things Death Squad, all things comedy, and
yeah,
and
big fans of all three of ours. And, cool guy.
So it was devastating. So that's
what did he die of?
Dude, just one of those things. Just got sick out of the blue, and then was kind of sick enough that his girlfriend took him to the emergency room. And they, like, fucking, you know, looked at it, and his, like, liver had swollen, unbeknownst to him, and then had a seizure out of the, you know, middle of the night in the ER, had a seizure, couldn't resuscitate him, and just died, like, snap of a finger.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And, dude, here's what a cool guy he was. I was talking to Adam about it last night. He's like, he would always hit me up. I'm like, hey, man, I want to come to your, you know, belly room, whatever horrible spots I would get. And I would always get him in. And we would always get him into the OR. And he wanted to go to the main room. And he found out, and I got him on the list to go in the main room. And I'm walking in, and he's standing in line. I'm like, dude, why you don't have to stand in line? Why are you standing in line? And he goes, oh, once I found out that everybody in the main room splits the door, I didn't want to not pay and take money away from the comics.
My God.
And you're like, fuck, dude, what a fucking cool guy.
Oh,
like, literally, his
God.
Name was on the list, and he's standing, you know, there he is, like, all the way pretty much where the ATM used to be.
He should have just given us 50 cents each and then kept the difference.
I was like, dude, how about you just, yeah, pull a Tommy?
Yeah.
Well, hand me a 10. I'll make sure you get in.
Oh, man. So
sad. He died, and the worst is that he died like many Punch Drunk fans who will never hear Sam's explanation of what happened last week.
So where are you going to be, Tebow?
I will be at an AA meeting in about 2 hours, and that's it. If you fucking anybody's in the San Francisco area, 16th to the 20th of December, go see Nick Youssef at the Punchline record his new album. That would be a cool thing for you guys.
No, wait, that's the date? Friend. I thought it was the 15th.
It's that whole weekend. He's doing two shows where he's not taping it, then he's doing two shows where he is.
Where are you going to be, Ari?
Well, in New York on December 15th, on Tuesday, I got a This Is Not Happening storyteller show at the Village Underground. Great lineup. Sam Morrill, maybe you guys don't know him, but Artie Lang, Robert Kelly, Jim Norton.
Oh, nice.
Emily Tarver. And we'll be telling stories about the holidays, and we will not be telling stories about Sam's explanation of what happened last week on Punch Drunk because he refused to give that.
Where are you going to be, Frank?
I'm going to be at the Roast Battle on Tuesday, and then I'm actually hosting a belly room show for Martin Harris on the 18th.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. Awesome.
I think that guy sleeps in a coffin.
Who?
You ever hear Martin Harris talk?
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like a guy that sleeps in a coffin.
No, I haven't heard it. Is it good?
He just sounds like a fucking vampire.
What does it sound like? Let's hear.
Welcome to the new show. I only drink blood.
Okay, I like
he
that.
Keeps saying I only drink blood, which is also very weird.
I'll get into my dates, but real quick, I want to talk about Steve Simone is such a class act. He is raising money for something called Santa Steve. It's at GoFundMe.com. Put in Santa Steve. He is just trying to raise money. Let's see what he says right here. Says,
got a children's hospital that he goes and volunteers at, and they don't really get toys for Christmas. So they had this terrible Christmas where they're stuck in a hospital for months and months, and they don't really get it. So he went out of his own money, which he doesn't really have. He bought an Xbox for these kids, and he's just trying to raise money for them so they can have, like, an actual Christmas.
I think I might be able to help him on this. I
really
do.
You think so?
Yeah, I think I have something that might really help this fucking guy out. I'm very excited about that. Okay, so GoFundMe, Santa Steve, help him out. Big things. I will be at the Woods tomorrow night in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be at the Dirty at 12:30 this Friday night in Vegas. If I get a ticket for the fight, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, but you know, you never know. I'm going to go to the fight. And then I have the 26th. I'm doing a big show in Fresno with Ian Edwards and Dean Del Rey. We're doing a Tower Theater. And then,
yeah, we are.
And then New Year's I'm bringing in at the L.A. Comedy Club in Las Vegas. So those are my dates. And I got a big tour coming in January that I'll go into later. Look Who's Calling In. I'll go into that later. It's called the Man Heat Tour, Punchlines and Slow Grinds. And we're coming to the Midwest and Northeast. So
I don't even think you like doing stand-up. I think you just like naming shows.
That's true. That's true. All right. So calling in right out the gate.
Welcome to the BetDSI Celebrity Hotline.
No, we didn't do our BetDSI.
Well, we'll do that after this. Let's see what he's welcome to Punch Drunk. Who do we have on the phone?
Hey, Ari.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's Drunk
Katie.
Are you drunk already? It's 3:24.
I can't wait for the fucking McGregor fight.
Why?
Because he's fucking Irish and I'm drinking car bombs already.
It's noon. How many car bombs could you possibly have had by noon?
I had 6 for breakfast.
Jesus Christ.
Now, Black Cock Katie, does your love of Black Cock come into how you vote, meaning... let's say Aldo's darker, which is closer to Black Cock. Does that weigh in on who you vote for?
I'm kind of tall on it, but I'm thinking McGregor because I'm Irish at the end of the day, and the car bombs are just, and they like the car bombs over there.
Do like the car bombs. Well, yeah. In the 80s they did. I don't know if they still like the car bombs.
I think it's a different car bomb than what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
I might drink some fucking Jager bombs just to wash down some of these car bombs.
Now, would you fuck McGregor because he is two things you generally don't like, white and little.
Successful.
He's short.
Successful, too. What about successful?
I mean, she's
I'd be willing to make
Jay-Z.
An exception for his success. I think he's sexy, he's well-dressed, and
what?
I would let him do, you know, stuff, too.
Who's the most successful athlete or black person you've ever fucked?
Didn't she fuck Jay-Z?
Did Katie fuck... Black Cock Katie, did you bang Jay-Z?
Don't tell me I'd say she fights dirty.
What?
I fucked P. Diddy.
What?
I fucked Ving Rhames.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Really? That one sounds painful.
That is black. That's a black we don't understand.
I fucked that muscular guy on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Terry Crews.
Oh, the Old Spice dude.
Yeah, the guy who doesn't own a shirt, apparently.
What was that
I couldn't walk right for 3 weeks, Harry.
He wrecked their puss?
He dominated it. I fucked Manu Bull back in the 90s.
Oh, my God. How weird was that?
You probably
how long and thin was his dick?
You could probably blow him without even getting on your knees.
His dick looked like the microphone Bob Barker used to use on The Price is Right.
That is long and thin.
That is long and thin.
Anyway, he knew how to work it.
That's amazing. So any other predictions on the fights or just going to root for the Irish guy?
I think Chris Weidman's going to dominate Rockhard.
Oh, really?
Is that his name, Luke Rockhard?
It's
not Rock Hard, but close enough.
That's something. I got my mind on the Black Cock already,
Yeah, you really do. You really do. Now, let me ask you something. When it comes to black men, is it just that they're black, or is it, like, their attitude that turns you on? Like let's take Gerard Carmichael. He's business black. Is that attracted to you, or do you want more like Jamar Neighbors, which is like thug black? Like, what do you look? What kind of black is really the sweet spot for you?
Yeah.
Every kind of black. They say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice, and it couldn't be more true because I've drank a lot of that juice.
Do you do the juice cleansing with the black cock? Are you like dropping pounds by juice cleansing black cock?
You guys always ask how I stay in such shape, and that's the answer. A lot of fucking, a lot of that sweet. Sweet juice.
The fountain of youth. Now, where have you been? I haven't seen you in months and months and months. Where have you been?
I've been traveling around with various NBA teams.
Oh, you travel with them? Like a mascot? Or what are you, just like physical therapist?
I'm contracted out to a couple of teams, and I do massage therapy with my pussy.
Oh.
I believe that's called fucking.
Some would say that, but I went to school for it.
Oh, wow. God, I wish
I was. You like Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I like Anthony Davis. I love Anthony. How do you feel about Anthony Davis? He's the fucking
future. I rubbed my pussy all over his unibrow.
Oh, you want to, like, grind on like a cat?
I already did it.
You already fucked Anthony Davis.
You think I
Why do you think he's not playing well this year? I've been fucking him too hard before games.
Oh, that's so true. Let me ask you something, Black Cock.
No, he's playing great. What are you talking about?
He's had a couple injuries.
He's not playing well, Ari. The Celtics just handed it to him. My own Boston Celtics.
Now, yeah, did you do that on purpose?
Playing great.
What's that?
He's playing great.
Bill Burr told me to fuck him out of the game for the Celtics.
A lot of people claiming Bill Burr is their best friend lately.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Black Cock Katie. Does it upset you that the Kardashians fuck black dicks and they're like gazillionaires and you fuck all the black dicks and you're not?
Yeah.
I really relate to the transgenders who think that Bruce Jenner shouldn't be their spokesman, because it's like, I've been around, I've been doing this for years. All of a sudden, these Johnny fuck latelys come around and they're taking all the credit for fucking the black cock.
Well, true. So true.
Yeah, you really
I
are.
I fucked Lamar Little when he was still at URI.
Oh, my God. Oh,
you really that, are. You're the Rosa Parks. You're the Rosa Parks of black cock.
Is there any truth to that your vagina is magical and that if a black dick gets in there, good luck comes to them?
It's the opposite of the Kardashian curse. Oh. If I were to fuck James Harden right now, he would get back to his mid-season form.
I have a question.
Katie,
go ahead,
I was just in Providence in Rhode Island, and a lot of people were talking about you.
A lot of strip clubs up there, Ari. Did you go to any?
No, I did not.
Did you fuck anyone up there? I had some friends. You should have told me, but they kind of like what I like.
Well, I did not tell you. I'm sorry. But, yeah.
Well, you're not fucking anymore. First of all, this Tebow guy doesn't drink, and now you're not fucking?
No, I'm fucking. It's just I have a genital wart right now on my dick, so I can't really...
What's going on?
Oh, boy. I could have lived
that. You can fuck around that.
Yeah, you can fuck around that.
It's called condoms, sorry.
You're the new boss. Why don't you show the guys?
What just happened to you, Ari? Katie, I have a question for you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just thinking about Ari's genital warts.
Yeah, that's a horrible thing to think about. Now, what is the perfect amount of drinks for Katie to be the best in bed? 0 is definitely not the right answer, and 40 is probably too many. But what is the perfect amount of drinks for you to have your A game in the sack?
I'd say, like, between 24 and 28 is really where I'm operating at maximum power.
Okay.
Power.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
That's an expensive date.
I like it a lot.
It's about 16 car bombs. You got to do a specific breakdown. 16 car bombs,
yep.
4 bottles of wine.
Jesus Christ.
1 bottle of vodka.
Uh-huh.
Couple Red Bulls to wake back up.
Okay.
Puke so you can get some of the alcohol out.
I've watched you do that. Okay.
Then a couple of fucking Boone Farms.
Yeah.
A Mad Dog 2020, Jesus. Just to go back to high school a little bit.
Obviously, that's a good call.
So a 40-ounce, to say, you know, 40 ounces to freedom.
Uh-huh.
Then a bottle of Alizé.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, Katie.
That's a lot more than 24 drinks.
I think I have warts on my liver.
Let me ask you something real quick. How do you deal with hangovers? Are you ever hungover? You never seem hungover.
Here's the trick. If you never stop drinking, you never hungover.
Oh, wow. I've never thought about that.
That is
true. It's the hair of the black dick.
It's the hair of the black
dick. The hair of the doggy style?
Oh, that's all you... Are any of you black?
Not really.
How do you have a sports show? You don't have one black person?
Yeah, we got a couple listeners.
Yeah, my bank account's black.
Is that WNBA guy on the phone? I want to romance him.
Who's the WNBA guy?
WBA
Anthony Johnson?
Oh, he is
No, yeah, our one black listener. No, he's not on the phone. He's
TBL?
I think he's working in some kind of, I don't know where Anthony Johnson works. Where do we all think Anthony Johnson works?
Is his nickname Rumble?
No. That's another black guy. If you didn't fuck black guys, I think that was racist. But since you do bling them, I think it's impossible to be
it
racist.
It is the same name. Where do you? I picture him working at some sort of community center and helping people or something.
There's a cubicle, I believe. There's a cubicle where he's crunching numbers.
Yeah, it can be.
Well, Blackhawk Katie, we got to go. Lots to talk about.
If we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year. Hope you get some black coal because they'll probably...
Yeah, what's the 12 Blackhawks at Christmas this year?
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah, Ari. I've been thinking about fucking a menorah.
Wow.
Going airtight?
Yeah, do it if you want.
There you go.
All right.
Are you getting in the Hanukkah spirit?
No, not the Hanukkah spirit. I really didn't know until Don Barris texted me and said, Happy Jew Christmas.
Guys, we got to pay
Jew
the bills.
Christmas.
Bet DSI for all your betting needs. Go to BetDSI, use Punch Drunk, and get $10 betting cash. Also, go to the website, go to cavemancoffee.com, use Punch Drunk Sports, get some of that cash. I got to check in on that money on the Caveman Coffee stuff. And then also go to the website, punchdrunksports.com. We need writers right on the website. It's getting a lot of traffic. We're very excited about it.
Send an email to writefor.punchdrunk@gmail.com. And we will get you set up with that. And I would like to apologize. This is 6 weeks in a row now where I was wrong on my five-team BetDSI Punch Drunk Parlay.
Hey, we don't gotta say you're wrong.
Hey, I've been close a bunch. Three times I hit four, and the other times not even close to that. But I've hit four. Five is tough to hit in a parlay, man.
Yep.
Yeah, man. You've hit four, though? You hit the first four, or you just hit random four?
Well, I just picked four teams that I thought would be, here are my picks, money line only. Here are my five picks that I think are going to, you know, win the game. And so it's not necessarily in any sort of order, but Patriots really screwed me this week. Who would have ever have thought the Eagles win that game, but get in their ass?
Yeah.
Now, granted.
But they came all the way back.
They have zero receivers. They have lost three starting receivers and Gronk.
That's unbelievable.
And they're still right there.
Well, yeah, because they went on such a fat winning streak.
But, I mean, you know, they didn't have those guys last week. They won. They almost – if they didn't dig such a deep hole, they would have won that game. They just, you know, a punt return for a touchdown, a 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. You're already down 14-0.
Who?
They lost two in a row, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can we ask you something? Is Peyton Manning going to see the field again?
I think so.
I mean, this Osweiler is doing pretty well.
He's doing great.
No, I talked about this, but you just can't bench Peyton Manning.
You just can't.
I tell you what, he's going to be on a short leash. He comes in that first quarter, throws a pick, goes three and out a bunch of times, and it's fucking high stake game, playing for home field advantage, first round of the playoffs. Dude, I'd take him out in a heartbeat. I got to win. I want to win.
I was talking to Chad Zumach today about how I believe that Peyton Manning is a lot like LeBron James in that they micromanage everything so much to the point that it's actually hurt their chances to win more championships. And, like, you know, it's like, look at Tom Brady. He lets, what's his face, Bill Belichick, control everything, and he goes out there and plays. Peyton Manning has been, like, running the wide receivers meetings, running the offense, running everything, to the point where it's like, you got to let people whose job it is
he's
to dissect
on
everything.
He's on-field coach.
Which is the same thing LeBron James has done. Everywhere he's been the coach and controlled everything, which he has the talent to get to the championships, but it's like he hasn't been able to, I mean, he's won two, and Peyton's won one. But it's like, who knows how many could have won if they had somebody they trust? Great example is Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant has never won a championship without Phil Jackson. There was somebody who could tell him what to do, and he listened to him.
Or another guy that isn't him. I mean, Kobe's never been able to do it on his own, throw the whole team on my back. I can do this.
Well, yeah, Paul Gasol is considered the second greatest European player of all time.
Gasol was great. Still is good.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's had guys. But it's just like he's never won without a coach who told him, no, dude, you can't do that shit.
I almost
Has he ever won a championship without Derek Fisher?
That's true, too.
That's interesting.
Maybe that's it.
The Black John Paxson, John Blackson.
John Blackson.
Right?
Yeah. Like the so point my garden. Whole point is, like, Peyton Manning, it's, like, so interesting. It's like he controlled every fucking – he controls everything.
Yeah, it was great. Omaha. It was. He was fucking ran it on the field.
How about Tom Brady running a Rex Ryan?
That was hilarious. It's almost weird hearing Osweiler yelling Omaha.
Yeah, it is weird, right?
You're like, oh, is that Peyton? No, it's fucking Peyton's Osweiler.
Like, why are you stealing my fucking signals, Doc?
You know, I almost equate, and I love your point about the LeBron thing. I almost equate Peyton this year to Kobe, because I think the team really is at the point where we're like, hey, we got this marquee Hall of Famer, jersey selling. The team is associated with him, but we kind of can't win with him. So, like, let's kind of just, like, cut his minutes or let him rest or whatever you want to say. And, like, let's look towards the future.
Listen, my whole opinion is with the Lakers is they have completely embraced they're tanking smart where Philadelphia is tanking stupid. Like, they got Byron Scott. They're like, listen, we're going to eat it for 2 years. We got to eat it till we get out from under this Kobe Bryant thing. And this way, everything worked according to a plan. They gave Kobe enough rope to hang himself, and the team is so bad he doesn't want to stick around. And, like, they can't get lower than the third pick or else they lose their first-round draft pick. And now everybody's, you know, bad for Ben, it's called. You know?
Right.
He's so, like, this guy Ben, what's his fucking last name? Ben Simmons. It's a hashtag sucking for Simmons. This guy is so good.
Yeah. Oh, Ben Simmons. Yeah.
Oh my God, he's a monster.
Where does he play?
He's at LSU.
LSU.
Okay.
And he's putting up these like Kevin Durant numbers.
Like tall shooting forward.
He's 6'10". His shot isn't great, but his numbers are great. He's doing triple doubles. And, like, he's basically has a LeBron James game putting up Kevin Durant numbers. And it's just like, oh, my God. And if you want to tank, this is the guy to tank for.
Yeah, they're talking about that. I mean, you never know, but, like, for sure. Now, the Lakers, if they don't get the first four picks this year, they lose their draft pick.
Yeah, they lose their draft pick.
So they pretty much got to hit a lottery.
So that one, two, and three, they can keep anything lower they have to give up?
Yeah.
One, two, three, or four.
Give it up to who?
Phoenix.
Wow.
Steve Nash haunts them again.
This year's top four protected.
Dude.
Wow.
Do you notice how quickly they retired Steve Nash's number in Phoenix? Like, they helped them. Steve Nash goes, I don't want to play for the Lakers. Mick Kupchak's like, oh, you're going to come play for us. And he didn't play for him. He basically played a couple games, got hurt. All their draft picks went to Phoenix. It's fucking hilarious. He literally hurt the Lakers. He hated the Lakers.
I'm a fan of anybody that hurts the
Lakers.
He's
like, I'll get this thing for you. Barely ever play at all. Yeah. And then,
pay me! Pay me!
Covertly or obviously, anybody that hurts or tries to hurt the Lakers, I'm a fan of. That being said, I would be a hypocrite to say I truly do hate Kobe. Because what Kobe has done in the last 3 years is really hurt and set back the Lakers.
So you're kind of like, he's not so bad?
Now, in a weird way, yes. Yeah. In a weird way. It's like the guy that like banged your wife and like you initially hate him. But then you're like, he did get me out of a really bad relationship that I saw no way out of.
I wonder if BetDSI could do something where we do over and under until Kobe Bryant's wife leaves him. And I'm literally putting it out. I'm not lying at you. Over and under.
He's not going to lose his money.
2 years.
Because he plays basketball in the NBA.
2 years.
No,
she's going to leave him in 2 years.
But she's just there for the fanfare, you think?
There's something we've seen with these quote-unquote basketball wives. As soon as these guys retire and lose the limelight, they're off to a new dick. We've seen it over and over.
So you think it's like a little bit, yeah, of course she wants the money, but you think part of what keeps her fucking clam, keeps her snail wet is the fucking attention and the TMZ and the fucking limelight.
You are married to the number one sports guy in Los Angeles.
Right.
At the number one house of sports. You run the show. They basically made
That's what Jordan's wife did.
She made it so the Kardashians, like, couldn't sit courtside. Like, she pulled all sorts of fucking shit. She didn't get along with them. Once he's gone, she's going to jump to another dick. That's just what they do.
That's a big call. That's a big call.
The Kardashians?
No, but wasn't she his girlfriend from, like, high school? That was LeBron's wife.
Well, he's 3 years older than her, but they met when they were really young. He met her when she was still in high school, and she was doing she was in some video shoot.
Yeah. I do remember that. That's right. Because he took he took Brandy to the prom. That was the big fucking to-do.
Yeah.
Like, he was in high school, and he was, like, the best player in the fucking world, and Brandy went to his fucking prom with him.
It's going to be interesting to see, like, what he does, if he buys part of the Lakers or what he's going to do, because he's not Michael Jordan. This notion
that he'll be the first to tell you that's not true.
Yeah. But even the end of his career is less than Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan was still respectable at the end compared to the old Michael Jordan. No, compared to a guy who's 38 and still playing. Very good player, you know. But Kobe, wheels have fallen off.
Did you guys hear? And I think
wheels have fallen off.
They're gone, dude. They're gone.
Shots. He's taking almost. Let me see how many shots it takes a game now.
He does not give a fuck.
How many air balls did he have?
Yeah.
Oh, a bunch. Did you guys hear? I think you and I talked about it, or we sent the article back and forth. But Ari, did you hear against Portland last week, the day before he announced his retirement, halftime of the Portland game, and Byron Scott says to Kobe Bryant, hey, man, you've already played 20 minutes in the first half. I'm going to cut your numbers, your minutes down in the second half.
Yeah.
And Kobe says to the head coach, that's cool, man. I'm retiring after the game anyway.
No, no, no. He goes, it doesn't matter. I'm not playing next season anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
No, he literally said, I'm announcing my retirement after the game. And the whole and this is all from Byron Scott, all of him saying this. He goes, the whole second half, I was in a funk just thinking, like, this motherfucker just told me he's retiring at halftime. He's like, every time I would put him back in the game, I would just watch him thinking, like, it's over.
Why don't you just suck his dick, Byron Scott? It's like Byron Scott has been so... Oh, shit. We got another
game. I forgot they played together.
Hey, you're on with Punchdrunk Sports. Who's this?
Yeah, look.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit. Andrew Dice Clay.
It's been a while, Dice.
God, it's been a while.
Been a long time. Ari, how you doing over there?
I'm all right, Dice. I'm all right. I'm a little hurt still about being banned, but I've accepted it, and I understand that you have a greater reasoning in your life, and so I will move on. I'll try
you're
to be
still
a friend.
You're
going to bring up the banning right off the bat, Ari? Like,
I'm saying I was.
Why do you always get off on the wrong foot with me, Ari? Guys, bring the hammer out already!
No, don't bring
the hammer. Wait a minute. You guys, I have a question. And Dice, happy Hanukkah to you, my friend.
Thank you. I would wish it to Ari if he wasn't such a heathenish piece of shit. You're banned from Hanukkah, Ari.
Oh, wow. God, Ari, you're banned from Hanukkah.
I don't remember.
Don't touch a menorah. Don't touch a dreidel. Put down your potato latkes because you're fucking banned, all right?
Dice, I don't totally remember it. I don't think we've talked about it on the show. Why is Ari banned from your house?
No, we have talked
about it. Before I even get into that, I got to bring up, I'm listening to Punch Drunk Sports last week, and it's the elephant in the room. There was a major catastrophe in there.
What happened?
I think one of you guys got a little crazy under the collar.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a banning where you just took off and you said, I'm over it.
Yeah. It happened.
No comments for that? I mean, come on, I'm trying to moderate something here. What time me and Will
there's
got
nothing to
be
moderate,
tight?
Dice. There's nothing to moderate. It. There's nothing to moderate. Yeah, we already discussed
it. That's a good question by Dice. What did happen?
Yeah,
Sam?
That is correct. Well, you know, we talked about it, and it got fucking weird. Oh, man, we lost Dice. I can't believe Dice just fell off the fucking show. So weird.
That was weird. I wanted to hear what Ari did to get banned. I don't think we've talked about that on the show. You're banned from his house, Ari?
Yeah, he went through his drawers. He found him going through his drawers. No, yeah, he went through his drawers.
You were, rifling through his affairs or something like that?
Yes.
By the way, I heard Jeff Sherwood on his own podcast was talking about how funny it was.
I heard about that as well.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know. I called up. The guy called up.
Hey, you're out with Punch Drunk Sports right now. How you doing?
What up, Mike?
Hey, dog, you're on with Ari Shaffir in New York, And our good friend, Jason Tebow, and the Mexicans here, too, crunching numbers of some sort.
Where are you calling from?
What's up?
I'm calling from Wayland in Marlboro. Wayland in fucking Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. How's that going? How's Massachusetts going? Do you know Black Hawk Katie's from there?
It's actually pretty shitty over here, dude. I kind of want to move to Cali.
You should come hang out.
Yeah.
I wish, dude. I don't have fucking money for that, but I'm trying to start up my own podcast and get going.
You know what you do? Gay porn.
Good luck.
Gay porn's actually a really easy thing to get into, you know?
You know, no, dude,
trust me, very easy.
You know what you want to get into, dude? Fucking webcamming, dude. That's
webcamming is like the most convenient way to make money, especially on the fucking internet, dude. Like, chicks don't even have to pay the college tuition as easy as it was back then, dude.
I
like,
just gotta be honest with you, this guy's great. No matter what you say, he just runs with.
Yeah, this is
the best improver I've ever improved with.
It's all yes and.
Yes and.
What you gotta get into is gargling cum.
Oh, yeah, gargling cum.
That's a fucking good point.
Oh, yeah, her gargling.
You gotta shove a fucking icy popsicle in your asshole and let it melt after fucking 3 hours.
Jesus. 3 hours. That's a.
I love homoerotic improver calling in. So, what's up? What are you calling in to talk about?
Not much, man. I just wanted to talk about what's going on right now in San Bernardino. Are you guys affected at all? Like, is there mad fucking shit going on over there?
It's pretty far away. It's about an hour and a half.
Where are you guys at right now? Where are you guys now?
Ari, have you heard any of the conspiracy theories about
it? Oh, yeah, I have. It's great.
Do you want me to look some up? Yeah, look them up, man. There's a lot of crazy conspiracy theories with this. Do you guys want to get into it or not?
Anything. Anytime anything happens.
Okay.
They're my favorite.
My thoughts right away.
My mom is 100% into conspiracy theories, and she sends me shit all the time.
I'm telling you, dude, there's shit about this that's fucking crazy.
I mean, of course.
So, like, I don't know, dude. I've been seeing a lot of stuff online, and sometimes I think everything I read online is absolute bullshit. Like, I don't know what to believe. Like, I hear things on the news, and then I see some stuff online calling it a hoax, and I believe more word of mouth now that I believe the internet. The internet is just a big black pit, a big black hole of just senseless information.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jaden's pussy.
So they don't get it either. News doesn't tell you anything either.
Yeah. So the one.
Yeah,
of the
news doesn't give you shit at all. The only thing the news gives you is an altered set of information that isn't even necessarily true. It's just for ratings. It's just for television marketing, all that shit.
So when you have
all these greedy bastards, when you have all these fucking greedy suit wearing mongoloids that are fucking sucking advertisements out of you instead of feeding you entertainment, that's where people refer to the internet. You know.
Okay. I agree. Hold on one second before you go on another long rant.
But it's good to look at boobs.
Yeah, it is good. So,
I love boobs.
For Frank, read some of the conspiracy theories you have
All right, so one of the main conspiracy theory that's going around is that it's a false flag for Obama's anti-gun war. And that they reported three suspects.
The initial report was three armed white men were running from the building. That was the initial report that went out. And I remember seeing it on the news.
Yeah, they have the tweets right here. So it's like...
heard it was three middle-aged white men was the first thing I heard.
I saw them on the news.
That's pretty fucked up, though, because on the internet I read that there was some Pakistanian woman who, like, was just a normal chick who went to a university and got lured in by ISIS.
Hold on,
and now they're stating that she was...
Pump the brakes.
Let him talk.
Pump the brakes. Let's get into this.
I'm at work, so I can't really hear you, though.
What work are you at? A fucking auctioneer? Yelling and screaming? So three armed white guys.
Go on. So that was the original report. So now that this thing that I'm reading is like they have, they're showing the dialogue of when it first reported and then how it slowly changed.
And that slowly changes.
Just like Benghazi, man.
Have you seen the picture? Sorry. Have you seen the picture of the guy after you shot? He is hogtied.
Well, which one? The guy that got shot or the guy that got out of the car and got caught?
The guy who fucking, they said, went on the shooting spree was hogtied.
After
what does that
car?
Even mean?
That means his arms were behind his thing and his legs were tied up. Who hog ties a dead man?
Yeah. That's pretty fucked up, dude.
I'm putting it out there. I
could argue a case.
So, whose conspiracy is this?
Oh, it's InfoWars, which is another weird conspiracy site.
There's a lot of shit out there. about this.
Wait, what podcast?
Ari, you ready for the big thing?
Yeah.
This center is the only center in the country that was practicing mass shooting drills. And that a week before the shooting, they had been practicing it. And
yeah, here's the deal with that stuff. So let me just comment on it real quick.
All right, let's
please.
Hear it.
They said the same thing about the LA LAX shooter.
And the Sandy
they
Hook.
Had, and they go, they were doing drills. Sam, do you got to be on your phone for this, or can
no,
you just listen?
No.
So then they said they were doing drills the week before, and it was so out of the ordinary. They never mentioned this stuff until after it happens. So for me to believe that this was the only one that did these mass shooting drills, it's like, man, you're bringing information after it's already – I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that.
They're the I
only
don't
one
believe
in the country that did mass shooting drills. And so no one mentioned that until a week later when the mass shooting happened?
Hold on. Why would they be
– the drill didn't
do anything? Why would that information be out to you? Why would that be, hey, everybody, here's a tweet. We're practicing mass shooting drills here at LAX. All right, fun. Retweet if you love Jesus.
Well, it's this. They said they showed a dummy. They were taking a dummy out on the LAX, like, tarmac to try to, like, get him to safety and stuff. Like, no one tweeted, saw a drill today at LAX.
Because they're practicing drills. Nobody goes, practicing drills today. Why would you put that out?
No, I'm saying no customers of Los Angeles International Airport mentioned that they saw them doing something like this.
But there is a tweet of a lady going, hey, oh, they're practicing another drill. Oh, no, this is real.
Yes, I did see that.
Oh, and so it was the only one in the country that did that?
There was a lady that said, you know, when she was asked or interviewed about it, she said she looked out the window and saw the guys going in with the guns and all this sort of shit and thought, oh, we're having another mass shooting drill. Then apparently they had just had one. And then when she heard all the gunshots going off, she was like, holy shit, this is real.
It's so convenient to the dialogue of this march towards war. That's all I'm saying.
But also,
like, it's almost like they knew.
But they
no,
all,
it's almost like they want it.
But they also,
yeah, like they wanted it to happen, have a reason to go out and do more shit out there and just, you know, get more oil or something. I don't fucking know.
But being on,
who the fuck knows?
But also just being on the other side of that, just devil's advocate, they say that people who believe in not crazy conspiracy theories like that, one reason that they do that is because they can't cope with how crazy the thing that's actually happening is.
I have nothing. Yeah. There's crazy people out there. I have no problem with that. But the when it fits into a dialogue.
So the only example we have, the only proof we have that they did this drill is some lady said, oh, it must be another drill.
Look it up, Ari. I'm just telling you the information that's out there. I'm not saying it one way or the other. Hey, dude, last comments before we got to go.
All right, man. Well, I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of you guys, man. I listen to you dudes every time I go to fucking college. Like, I just, like, days off. And
you're going to
I
fucking college?
I kind of wanted to mention this one time. I was listening to this podcast, and, like, you guys were talking about, like, Einstein or something like that. I don't even know why the fuck that came up, but, like, my body had, like a laughing reaction to the word Einstein. And I'm on the highway, and a huge truck comes fucking driving next to me, and on the truck it says Einstein. Like, big letters, dude, like Einstein on the corner. I was like, what the fuck?
I think that's...
It was just, like, a weird coincidence. I just wanted to think of what you guys thought about synchronicity of the universe. Like, what do you guys think about coincidence?
I think that means you should go get yourself some bagels, brother.
Is that what it's from? Einstein bagels?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a fucking semi full.
Honestly, that I keep thinking...
Okay. It wasn't a semi full of geniuses, that's for sure.
Yeah, that'd be so funny.
Just like a bunch of Einsteins pop out and just run around and do shit. If every single person that posted all these conspiracy theories, one by one, if they came in here and we saw what they look like and we listened to them talk for 30 seconds, every single one of us would go, you're done talking, get out.
Yeah, right?
No, I don't believe it. Nope, not
Let
you.
Let me ask you something.
Not you.
Why? 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 Why is it that these conspiracy theories are always wrong? I'm not saying that every conspiracy theory is correct, but when we saw with this war, Iraq war, we were lied to. They made trillions of dollars.
Sure.
That's true.
You know, like, sure. Why is it that hard to believe that this is a fucking, a big fat fucking lie out there?
Because Obama wouldn't do that to us.
But it's just, it doesn't fit into, it fits into the dialogue of this march towards war and this desire to give up your rights to be protected. because we see this slow fucking thing, this march towards, you know, 1984, where people are, oh, save us by taking, looking at all of our, you know, go through our computers, look at the porn we're looking at, take away our gun. I'm not saying that that this is 100% what happened here and it's a fake conspiracy. I'm just saying the notion that there isn't a lot of money and political gain from making people think that ISIS is here is ridiculous to fucking say no to. It's just, there's too much to gain if people are fucking scared that everywhere they go, ISIS is going to pop out.
I think that, and dude, I'm not saying they're not true. I'm just saying if I were to put a fucking betdsi.com or EU bet on it,
yeah,
I would say that a lot of these conspiracy theories regarding this are probably smoke and mirrors.
Have you
it's
seen
weird that when they do the drills, when they have the drills the week before, this thing I just said, so they do drills there every month. But when they have the drills, they're still really not prepared for it at all.
Yeah, because
like,
who really
the guy still ends up
happen.
Killing a shitload of people.
100%.
So the drills definitely didn't help them at all.
Have you ever seen the conspiracy theories about the Boston Marathon?
Like, with drills, why not just not do the drills there and then let the guy just shoot a bunch of people?
I don't know.
I think that these drills are for peace of mind for the people that work there and for everybody involved. They're equally as futile as having a flotation device under your seat in a plane. If that thing smacks into the ocean, I mean,
is it like a fire drill? And then if a fire broke out two weeks later, you're like, well, they just had a drill. What does that mean?
Yeah, but that's a great question. So why even do it there? Maybe it's so – let's just say there's some truth to this conspiracy, right? We're just going to throw it out there. We're not saying one way or the other. But maybe it's like if you're training the staff there to think it's always a drill.
Yeah.
And then it really happens. There's a maximum devastation that nobody really – oh, it's just a drill. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to think out loud.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, like when you were in elementary school and you did like a fire alarm drill every fucking month or whatever the fuck. And then the one time like it just randomly goes off, like whether a kid pulled it or whether there really is a fire alarm. All the kids are like, fuck, another fucking fake alarm.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
Have you ever seen
it? This is fake.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the thing about the Boston Marathon? The pictures that are there?
No, what?
Oh, yeah, if you want to go take a look at that, dude. Some weird-ass shit. Ari, last week before I stormed off, you wanted to talk...
Why was that again?
You wanted to talk about the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, but then the new moment came with you storming off, and that seemed interesting to me.
And now they're 22-0, and which is unbelievable.
It's unheard of.
No, it's not unheard of. We've had someone go
32-0. They're pretty special. We really are watching history. 33-0 is the record?
33-0.
So they have 12 more games to have to win.
Who was 33-0?
The 1972 Los Angeles Lakers.
Is that true?
Yeah.
They started 33-0 or they had 33 straight wins?
They had 33 straight wins.
Who was all on that team? Can you look that up for us?
Jerry West and Will Chamberlain.
That was the keys?
And I think it was... Elgin Baylor, too, I believe.
What year was it?
72.
I believe it's 72.
The year of the Teeb. The year of the rat.
And it is unbelievable.
Did either of you guys see the video, and I believe it was on Bleacher Report, of like a little baseline swing pass to Curry? He fucking pulls the trigger like he does. It's still on his fingertips. Bogut, before it leaves his hands, already turns away and is walking back to play defense. It hasn't left his hands yet. And whoever's under the basket for whatever team they were playing steps out of bounds, ready to catch it, and inbounds it.
Wow.
Then it leaves his fingers and just drains. And, like, on the video of Bleacher Report, it, like, stops, like, right when it's still in his hands. And then it, like, blows up the guy under the basket and it blows up Bogut. Look at him. And just start walking. He's at the top of the key, heading to play defense before it leaves his fucking fingertips. That's insane.
He is calibrated to...
Well, the defense thing I could see just because it's like, I don't want to go in for this rebound, so I'll just pretend like I've done that, where it's like, yeah, you just yell, bottom, and then you don't have to, like, work hard.
I love how you compared your experiences in rec ball to professional athletes playing basketball. Like, you know, there was this time.
To a center whose job it is to crash the boards.
Yeah, there was this time I was playing BuzzFeed, and it was us versus girls, and she had chucked it up, and I just knew it was going in. I love that. That was great. That was great.
I would equate that to NBA Jam when I was on fire and my head was gigantic.
The 72 Lakers was Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Jim Clemens, Leroy Ellis, Keith Erickson, Gail Goodrich, Happy Hairston, Jim McMillan, Pat Riley, Flynn Robinson, John Trapp,
Pat
and
Riley
Jerry West.
That.
Wow. Riley and West. Wow.
And it's 33 games, right?
Yep.
So they are 11 away. We've seen this before. I mean, the Miami Heat got to what, 27?
What were the Bulls when they had that historic run?
I don't think they went on a huge one.
They got to like 18 or 19 or something like that, and then. But how many games did they lose in that season? Because that's the record for
they lost
overall
10.
Heat.
10, something like that. Yeah.
They lost 10.
10.
They were 72 and 10.
72
that's the
and that's
no,
the
no. Who was
the Bulls?
The Bulls. Yeah, this team was 69-13. So they went the rest. They went 36-13 for the rest of it.
Yeah, you know, the whole discussion is going to be how would the Bulls do against these Warriors?
And
the
first question game. It's a different game.
Yeah,
it's
you
a different
ask,
style. The rules. It's a different thing.
Whose rules are we using? The Bulls' rules or the Warriors'
exactly.
rules?
Exactly. And whichever rules you use rules. Wins the game.
No, I disagree. I think the Bulls would beat them no matter what rules they're doing.
What rules? What do you mean rules?
In terms of defense,
I mean, physicality you could get away with back then, you can't get away with now.
Oh, yeah, they didn't have zone defenses.
They didn't have zones, hand checkings. You could fucking check like a motherfucker.
I mean, honestly, guys, I don't like when people like weight new things better. That's a normal thing. All new rock albums, I go, this is one of the best albums of all time. You almost want to be like, wait 5 years. And anytime there's an athlete, like we've never seen anybody play. This is the best anyone's ever played. And it's like, just come on, wait. People were saying Kobe's the best ever. And now
who's
just,
saying that? That isn't related to Kobe or
Kobe.
Working for him.
Kobe,
yeah.
Is saying
but as
that.
There, people are saying that. But as it's coming to a close now, people are going, you know what? He actually was. He's probably top 10.
Ah, he's top 15, and he's not even the best of his generation. The best.
Well,
is
the point
easily.
Is that everybody weights everything earlier
Tim
on.
Duncan.
And, but even with that in mind, I've never seen anyone shoot as well as Steph Curry.
No,
in my lifetime, I have never seen. For a while, you know, you could argue a case Larry Bird.
He's up there.
Larry Bird had one hell of a fucking touch.
Larry Bird didn't have the outside shot Steph Curry has.
Past five games, Stephen Curry's been above 50% for the three-point line.
That's unheard of.
He scores 1.3 points per shot.
You know,
if you're getting 1 point a shot, that means you're hitting 50% of your two-point field goals, 33% of your three-point field goals.
Oh,
that's
per
amazing.
Shot. Per shot, I see what you're saying. Wow.
He's at 1.3 points per shot.
That's pretty fucking
a lot
impressive.
Of people a lot of a
and
lot
I would
of people...
sorry real quick I just want to finish this real quick and then I would say Bird. I would also say Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller was
another
of
fucking
off the ball. Neither of them could just stop, you know, grab the ball and shoot. Like, you know, they all like Reggie Miller had to have picks, and you know, he wasn't a guy who could just grab the ball and shoot like this. I mean, this guy's unheard of.
It's unbelievable.
And you know, Bill Simmons can't stop ball washing Steph Curry. And he's like, really? And I totally agree with him. He calls it
so
once. He's like Joe Rogan when Joe Rogan was talking about Ronda Rousey. Once in an ever. And there is something to that. The only guy that is going to be like Steph Curry is some kid right now whose dad plays in the NBA, who is always at the courts just shooting all the time. Because that's what Steph Curry was. His father was Del Curry.
As a youth.
Was a great
great outside shooter.
Great outside shooter. Taught him how to shoot, and that kid lived in a gym shooting all the time.
Had an indoor gym with a three-point line, and all he did was stroke that fucking rock for fucking 20 years.
And but still, I don't know why nobody hits him. Now, my personal opinion is I would like to see a healthy Kyrie Irving versus Steph Curry. I think that is a awesome matchup. I think that guy is. We haven't seen a lot of Curry because he's been so hurt the last two seasons. But and you know he's only 22, and there is something about
God,
when you,
that's frightening.
When you come, you know, because Steph Curry's 27, he looks 17. He's 27.
Yeah.
That means he's got three more years until he hits that magical age of 30, where like guards start to shut down.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving
takes
has
pretty good care
more
of himself.
Years of that.
Yeah.
Like his body is growing in to being an NBA player, in which we see is these kids, they come to the NBA at 18, 19, and they just get hammered, and their bodies can't take the beating, which is why in the NFL, you have to play 3 years before you're allowed to go in the NFL. You have to be 3 years from your graduation because your body can't handle the beating you're going to take by grown-ass men.
Yeah, and you know, we've even seen that with who's the fucking defensive lineman for the Texans?
Oh, Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, that kid had to wait a year to go out, and he plays a fucking really rugged fucking position, and he hasn't been healthy. He's played in what? This is his second year? Third year.
This is his second year.
He's played nine more NFL games than the three of us have.
Combined.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that has happened. How many championships do you think this Golden State Warriors team will win? I say three.
I could see it.
Five.
I could see it.
Five? Because yeah. I think eventually they're going to break
you
up.
You think they're going to win five?
I can see three, and here's what's great about them is it's a recruiting magnet. Who wouldn't want to go there and have that kind of fun? What fucking free agent or veteran that can come in and get some PT and go there and win a championship and live in fucking San Francisco and live in the fucking West Coast?
And those kids are Bay kids. They fucking
love
the Bay.
Yeah, and
they all
talked about, what's his name, who won the MVP of the finals? What's his name?
Klay Thompson?
No, Iguodala.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, are you going to want to start now? Are you going to demand a trade or demand a start? And he was like, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll fuck up a team chemistry of a team that just won a fucking championship, idiot.
Right.
No shit.
Because I'm getting paid well, and I won a championship. Get out of here, media.
Yeah. Get out of here, media.
Yeah, Iguodala is a great
Go cover stories like why Sam walked off last week.
Yeah, go cover fucking stories that have been resolved. Listen, here's the thing.
By far, one of my favorite episodes today.
Let's take some calls. Hear how many championships are going to win.
We got one. And then we still got to talk this big UFC weekend. This is the I've never been more excited than this card.
Oh, this week. No,
ever.
This card. These three fucking fights.
Greatest card in my run of being an MMA fan, which is a long time.
314, you're on with Ari, Tebow, and a Mexican.
Cortland, New York, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you?
What's up, Fonz?
Thanks for calling in.
I'm great, man. I saw Ari at the parlor last year.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it's fucking awesome, man. Some dude threw like a bag of weed up on stage and he almost tripped on it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, and then I came up after the show and I gave Ari a big bag of candy.
Aww.
Pot candy or candy candy?
Yeah.
He likes both.
What's your name, buddy? What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, you sound like a very nice guy.
Yeah, very nice. What's your question, Ryan?
What's your question, Ryan? I don't want to hang up on such a nice man.
I had a question for Evil Tony Hinchcliffe, if he's there.
Oh, I'm everywhere, fuckface.
Oh, hey, Evil Tony Hinchcliffe. How are you doing, man?
That's better if you...
What was that?
That was how I burp.
I was wondering, Evil Tony Hinchcliffe, what makes you think that Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who you have a raging boner for, wouldn't just like punch you in your stupid Evil Tony Hinchcliffe face?
Whoa!
That's a legitimate question from a complete idiot.
That's all I got.
That guy is having so much fun. Hey, dude, you're a nice man. We appreciate your support. And I got to hang up on you, but I'm giving you a chance to hang up yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Well, we tried.
He straight up said, have a good day. And then hang up.
210, you are on with the Jew, Tebow, and a Mexican.
Hey, that works out. I'm Mexican, too. How's it going, guys?
Sorry about your luck.
Oh, hey.
Oh, man. Sorry. Big fan. I have a quick question for Sam. I'm a bit of a runner myself. The way you ran out of the studio.
Next up.
Had we had a half a fucking brain in our heads, we would have handcuffed Tripoli to the chair.
What's up, man? That was the best call.
bit. I love how he set that up. I'm a bit of a runner myself. Callers, if you're going to call in and try to sneak, you got to sneak that question in. Sam is on the gun right now.
Oh, he's
now with Punch Drunk Sports. We're talking UFC 194.
And Golden State.
808.
Cortland, New York. You're on the air.
What's up?
Yeah, you guys know the San Bernardino thing is a hoax, right?
Oh, why do you think this?
Huh?
Why do you think this?
Did you see how they let the reporters into the house?
I did see that.
Well, I read about that. That was the landlord, from what I assume, but then he said it. They did another report where they said that he was like,
he
bum rushed him. Yeah, he was like, they bum rushed me. I didn't let anyone in. But I could totally see how that dude could stand to make a lot of money just letting those fucking people in.
Yeah, that I don't know. That is crazy. It's convenient, right? It just fits in to
right, though. It's like at some point, it's like they keep lying to us and we keep going, well, no, that's just a coincidence. It's partially just a coincidence. But the government will keep lying to us. We keep proving them. Yeah. And it's always like, no, but it was 30 years ago. It's like, I know, but it's been continuously 30 years ago. Yeah. For the last 150 years.
Yeah, they're still lying to us now about something.
They're lying to us about aliens. They have been for fucking a century.
Turn on the news. They're lying to you. I mean, it's a fucking... The media is the government. They're one entity.
Correct.
Wow.
I like it. Thanks for calling in, dude. Next up.
What?
We got a lot of people calling in, dude.
Okay, all right. Let's take them all.
Hey, you're 828.
Cortland, New York.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Hell, I was going to ask the obvious, but hell, I've been going to a therapist and I've learned to be passive aggressive like my cousin. You know, not really aggressive. I'm just real passive
now. What's up, Jeb?
Jeb, good to hear your voice. Why have you been going to a therapist? This is amazing news.
Oh, you know, I was trying to tell you I was getting my shit together and I was going through some shit and hell, I really was. They got me on like some Brody Stevens shit now, you know, so I'm good.
Yeah, you
I'm doing pretty good, you know. I'm just calling in to talk about this 9 Days of Fury, this little 12-gauge page girl. You know, I ain't had
I hope
in
she
so
gets
long,
destroyed.
The thought of my head of that little...
No, dude.
You don't think she's hot?
No, I think she's hot for a little elfin girl.
There's no wrong with it.
Yeah, that's
for,
true.
For a little what?
A little elfin girl? A little elf?
Elf?
She's short.
Dude,
she's
I'm smart. Fine with that.
Yeah.
Dude,
I'm not even a Lord of the Rings fan either. Hell, I'll put a little Hobbit outfit on that bitch and fuck shit out of her. I'm not really into, you know, anal either because I tried that out. Because
it hurts you, doesn't it?
Little cheap-ass, you know, Super 8 motel. And I tell you, I mean, just my opinion, anal's overrated. Hell, I did have to use some KY because my dumbass tried it in the shower. The only thing cool about it, you know, being able to pump up in that ass, but outside of that, it really ain't that fun, in my opinion.
Well, you know what, Jeb? Great call. Good point. Use some lube. Thanks for calling in, dude. We got a busy day because everybody wants to talk. Normally, we do a nice talk.
Have you guys been keeping up with this James Dean thing going
on? No, let's not get into that. We'll get into that, but let's get into these fights. Let's go down the fucking thing.
I think Aldo, just on the record. But
I think Aldo, too, dude.
As do I.
I may want to bet on it. You know, Tebow, we were talking about this. Everyone says they called it ahead of time. If he's an underdog.
He is an underdog, which is unbelievable.
Is that
then
true?
Let's call, what's his name? Let's call our Monsters of Comedy friend and fucking.
Oh, Chris Neff?
Is he really an underdog?
Why not use plus 107.
All right, how do I do this?
Right, is that how I do it?
Yep.
I'm going to bet Aldo. I'm going to bet, dude, Rockhold. I'm going to go Rockhold. And I'm going to do it.
I might bet,
I think Weidman wins that fight, and I think Aldo wins that fight.
I think Aldo definitely wins that fight.
Aldo and Rockhold, I think, too.
Let's go down the list of jokes starting from...
Let's all three say who we think will win the fight, but also who you want to win the fight, if it's not the same answer.
There's actually three...
Okay, good thing.
There's actually...
Wait, how do you log into BetDSI?
Well, you got to set up an account. No, don't start... Start with the first fight of the week, which is on a Thursday. There it is. Paige VanZant.
The Friday card is great. Right.
The Friday card is great.
We're going to go through it.
I already got it right.
Okay. So let's see, okay, if there's any fights. Oh.
Let me pull this up, too.
So now they got that Sage Northcutt?
Yep.
Have you watched this guy fight before, Ari?
No.
Oh, my God.
Extremely exciting.
Oh, my God. You know,
Earl and I were talking about him last night for about 30 minutes.
He looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, the funniest part about him that I feel so bad for this other guy, Cody.
He could be the new face of the UFC.
Look at this guy, Cody, right? How
so
fucked,
uncut.
Right? But, like, compared to us, he's shredded. Then you look at this guy across from him, and it's like, this guy's a fucking cyborg.
He's on the fight pass card, Sam?
Yeah.
Wow.
Main card.
Now, I'm going to take Sage in that because, I mean, you know, you can be a player hater when somebody's got it. I like him, dude. There's just something about him. I wouldn't doubt if they make him into a movie star eventually. Just because somebody's good looking doesn't mean you can't like him. I think he's a fucking... I am excited about watching this fight.
I like that Rose chick, too. I'm excited for all four of those fights.
I hope this Rose chick destroys Paige VanZant.
I do like me some VanZant, though.
I think she's okay. I don't have anything personally against her, but this
Paige is so cute.
And mind you, she's UFC hot. She's not like, damn, that's a fucking LA 10.
If you could fuck one of them, who would you fuck?
Rose.
Dude, Rose, look how hot she's. White
trash. Something
about
a chick with short hair.
Oh, yeah, she shaved her head.
Yeah, if I had to pick one of them, I would pick Paige.
Go to the next fight card, which is the next night. Who do you got on that one, Ari? Paige VanZant versus Rose. What's her name?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Namajunas.
Fighting.
Go to the next fight, which is fight night. Which is Edgar versus...
Edgar's the underdog.
Edgar versus who's he? Mendez, which is a great fight.
Chad Mendez, yeah. And that's like number two versus number three, if I recall.
It's the fight night pass. Oh, okay. Let's see who can fight quicker. Tebow or the Mexican. Begin.
That's what I want to do. The UFC app is awful. Can I say that? Go on record and say that.
The website's terrible.
The UFC app is pure dog shit.
Dude, it doesn't even tell you the cards.
It doesn't tell you their rankings. It doesn't tell you their records. You don't even can't see the records. It's just fucking shit.
That's it. This one.
And it's like, okay, 194. You look at it, and then it's like video blog. Like,
it's terrible.
It used to have the whole fight card.
Yep.
Here we go.
Top to bottom like you want.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good fights on this one. On this fight night on Fox. It's a really good card. Holy shit.
I don't know, man. That Namajunas girl, I think she might be hotter.
I think she is hotter, and I would rather hit it harder.
Yeah, she's got weird eyes. Like, she might
steal your soul.
She might say, okay, just lock up when you're gone. You
she's
come back
the type of
later,
chick that's like, there. Don't come in my pussy. And then you do, and she's like, I guess I have to have a kid. That's her kind of look in her, right? That white trash, like, but I don't have any say in this. If you come
like
in my
that girl,
pussy.
My name is Earl. Yeah. Like, first year.
If you blasted me, we make a baby. I got to raise it.
Yeah, right?
You know, there's this Ryan LaFleur.
Oh, wow.
Versus Mike.
He looks like he's going through chemo.
He looks like if Dave Taylor was a UFC fighter. He's 11-1.
They're both 170? Jesus.
Yeah.
When you go into this app and you click this fight card, it says details not available.
Unbelievable.
No. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I mean, it has the 194. That one's all in there.
Oh,
it doesn't say the records, and it doesn't show the pictures of the people.
It sucks.
Ari, our favorite guy in the world, Joe Lozon. He's taking on Evan Dunham.
Why do you guys like Joe so much?
Oh, he's been to my shows. He's the nice guy, and he looks like a spider monkey. That's
so funny. Yeah, super. He's been a big O&A fan. Cool guy. I hope he wins. He's an underdog, but it's nice to see him back in the UFC.
Who did Evan Dunham fight? He fought some black guy. I think it was Young Assassin. What's his name?
Well, they start trouble at bars a lot, so I got to take Evan Dunham's side on this.
No, he was in the octagon. He was like on his way, and he took on this black guy, and he just never recovered. Now this next fight, so who you got in that, Ari? Who you got in that?
I'm taking Joe Lozon. I'll stick with my guy.
I will too.
I'm taking Lozon.
Also, who I'm rooting for?
Mexican. Yeah. Just throw out a name.
Lozon.
This next fight is really good. It's Edson Barboza versus Tony Ferguson. Dude, this is a good fight. Oof. And Barboza's...
Wait, which one is this? Which fight is this?
This is on Fight Card, Frankie Edgar. It's the
co-main
event.
This is the Friday night, Friday night free one.
Yeah. Okay. Barboza is that guy who's got all the skills to be a world champion. He just doesn't have the skull to show up all the time. and he loses fights he shouldn't lose. Tony Ferguson's a guy who's just like, he's another guy who's got spider monkey ears. And I think I'm going to go with Barboza. I don't know
Same.
Why. I'm going to go Barboza.
Same here.
Who you got, Ari?
Yeah, Barboza's pretty fucking good, man.
He's shredded and he's good, and he always, but he gets caught once in a while.
Is that the co-main event on that?
Yeah.
Why didn't Joe Lawson only fight once in 2014?
Was he injured?
I guess so.
A lot of times that happens.
Twice in 2013.
And then the main event, which I think should be getting way more pub than it is without a doubt Frankie Edgar versus Chad Menendez. And I think it's a great...
Chad Menendez. I mean, I think it's going to be amazing. And this is definitely... you're in a weird place if you're Chad Menendez. Because if you win this, you're probably going to get a title shot.
Correct.
And if you lose this, you have three losses in a row, and you won't get a you have to win three more times to get a title shot.
Well, it all depends on who wins the Aldo fight. If Aldo wins, they're never going to give Mendez a third fight with him. It just doesn't matter.
Agreed.
He's going to be in this weird netherworld. Now, if Frankie Edgar wins, he could get another shot versus
Aldo. Why even fight these guys? And why even fight these guys? You know, it's like, let Frankie Edgar fight. If he wins, he fights the winner.
I think that this fight, to me...
Because this is a great fight.
Because these guys are 2 and 3, I think, respectively,
yeah,
in their rankings. I think that this is like almost like a Big Ten championship, where it's Michigan State sitting at 4, or Iowa sitting at 4, and Michigan State sitting at 5. And if it's a close game, nobody really drops down. They just... stay right there.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Now, somebody gets their butt kicked. A winner, I would say, would get a title shot, and a loser might drop down to 5-ish, 6-ish.
Did you say that Mendez was the favorite?
Mendez is the favorite.
Is he really?
Is?
Yeah, by a decent amount. I think Frank Edgar is like plus 140 or plus 160.
I would bet on that, too. I would bet on that too.
I also will take Edgar, and Edgar is who I will be rooting for as well.
Correction: Chad Mendez had a win in between Aldo and McGregor.
Yeah, he fucked somebody up. He fucked up. Who's that guy that did all the funny stuff about Conor McGregor? He made that fake video.
Ricardo Lamas. Yeah, he got a fight of the night. Performance of the night. So I don't know what that.
Okay,
was.
So that's it. So let's get to UFC 194.
This card, it just hit me. Even though Earl and Skakel and I were talking about it a little bit last night.
By the way,
today,
I disagree. I think if he wins, he does get another title shot. It was fight of the year, fight of the night.
I agree.
I think if Mendez wins, I think the winner of this gets a title shot.
I totally agree with you.
Dude, do you think Faber's ego is just? I mean, I like Faber. I watched him at Ellis Mania, and he just went at Jason Ellis. And he's not the biggest guy, but dude, that guy throws. And he's on the undercard. He's on the Fox Sports 1 prelims, which I understand why Fox does that. The UFC does it because they want a big name. Yeah.
Video.
Oh, you can be seen. Ari, remember when we were at studio number 9 of the fucking 17 studios we've had on this show? And we took a break, and you and I were outside. I was smoking a cigarette, and you were probably smoking pot out of a trash bag. And
funny.
California Kid walked right by us.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Where was that?
Lovitz.
Lovitz, right?
Yep.
California Kid.
California Kid.
Uriah Faber walked right by us. And he's about 4'7".
Yeah, he's like.
He was so little that you're like, wow, okay.
Did you want to throw him on your keychain?
Yeah, I kind of did. I was like, get in my pocket, little guy.
Get in my pocket, little guy.
What's the opposite of diminutive?
The monster.
That depends what diminutive means.
Not at all, but okay.
What does diminutive mean?
Demonstrative, right? Why is he acting like it's not?
It's not.
Diminutive, demonstrative. Why is that not the opposites?
Why would it be opposites?
I don't know what...
Let's define those two
diminutive
words.
Diminutive is tiny. Demonstrative is large.
Diminutive is not tiny. And look demonstrative means acting large.
Diminutive means acting small.
Sam, no.
Let's give her a fucking old look up.
Yeah, they
look
would be
it up. Shake it up. Now, there's a great... The first fight on the pay-per-view is Holloway versus Stevens. Jeremy Stevens. Max Holloway is in line if he does if he shows up to have a fight versus whoever wins this big one, because he hasn't fought Aldo and he had a great fight versus McGregor. I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe this is a great fight, dude. This is a great card.
Totally sucking his stomach.
Diminutive just means tiny, small, miniature, minuscule.
Now demonstrative. Sam, do you still think you're right at this point?
Yeah,
or not?
Why not? Why not? What do I got to lose?
You could always just walk off again, I guess.
I don't want to walk off. I'm here.
Walk off.
So who do you got in that? Jeremy Stevens or Max Holloway?
I don't know. We've moved too far down. Let's talk more about these Mendez, Edgar, and really Aldo and McGregor. Let's talk about that.
No. There's some other great fights. There's Souza, Jacare Souza versus Yoel Romero. That's a great fight, dude. That's a fight.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what?
On the undercard?
No, it's the third fight on the pay-per-view. And by the way, if Gay Jesus is listening, I'd like to know what he thinks of this fight, because, you know, Romero loves Gay Jesus.
Demonstrative is outwardly expressing emotion.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, Ari.
Excessively expressing emotion.
Yeah, which is diminutive is what?
Something that is small or miniature.
And demonstrative is showing emotion.
Outwardly,
big. Thank you. Win that one. Moving right along. Who you guys got in this fight? Who do you got?
Hang on. Let me get back to it.
Souza versus Yoel Romero.
That's a fucking good fight, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the fuck, man. I'll go Romero.
Number two versus number three. That's a big fight, too.
I'm going to go Romero.
You're going to go Romero, Mexican?
Yeah, dude. He looks like he's just
because it's closer to Mexico.
Yeah,
is this a title eliminator?
Yeah, without a doubt. Winner of this gets whoever wins the next.
Tell you what, I would love to see Jacare fight for a title. Just Sam, for old time's sake.
As you read these, if you could do me a favor, because the app sucks so much fucking cock.
How much? Like Black Cotty?
Way more than Black Cotty.
Really?
Can you, you can give their rankings as well for each fight, because I wish that is something they did on this
Ronaldo's
bullshit app.
Number two.
Souza's -149, Romero's +129.
Wow. I think Souza on this one. I like Romero, though. I like Romero a lot.
I like him too. Yo, Romero, I just think the soldier of God. Jesus Christ.
Okay, are you voting against that now?
Yeah.
Because,
I just mean that's scary.
You know, Ari, you took 3 weeks of jiu-jitsu, so you might know this.
So I'm an expert. Go ahead.
Okay. A lot of people feel that wrestling is a really great thing to counter jiu-jitsu. Now, jiu-jitsu, Souza is like world-class jiu-jitsu guy, whereas Romero is a like Olympic wrestler.
You can tell by his neck. This guy has zero neck.
Yeah. Well, here's what it is. It's like if Jacare can't take him down... If Romero's wrestling is good enough that Jacare can't take him down, because that's not really the main part of jiu-jitsu. I mean, it always starts up, but it gets down fast. That's what everybody fights at. So if you can't take him down, yeah, he's kind of nullified a little bit. He's demonstrative a little bit.
He's a very big demonstrative guy.
Every time he yells at, like, it's today's magic word. Every time, like,
Sam, why did you walk? What was going through your head when you walked off last week?
Okay. Know, next up, Weidman.
He was being
versus...
demonstrative and expressing.
Demonstrative.
That was an example of demonstrative. Sam expressing those emotions outwardly.
I think we know what the real conspiracy is.
Champion Chris Weidman versus number one.
Hold on a second. Did you leave early so you could do the shooting in San Bernardino?
That's a legitimate question.
Yes, that is a great question, and the answer is 100%.
It was on Tuesday of last week.
It was on Tuesday.
Was it?
And I had to beat traffic. And I had
so
to...
you intentionally forgot that guy's name so you could like make up this story?
Yes. Yes, Ari. God, you really are fucking... you're really amazing.
Can I just tell you how hilarious it was watching you look through your papers to try to find that name? It was just like, what's going on?
Ari, what I'm debating right now is, am I far enough into this podcast to hang up on you?
That's what I'm debating right now.
The people want to know.
We need him. He's the fucking blonde with the big tits.
I'm the girl.
This
I'm
fight
the sketch group. That like they should use more of her.
The hot yeah. girl in the sketch group.
Yeah, you really are.
This
you
has
really
potential
are.
To be a fight of the year. On any other card, this is a absolute number one amazing fight.
What?
Weidman versus
Weidman Rockhold.
Yeah.
And I am all in, all chips in the middle of the table, Chris Weidman. I want him to win. I like him. He has finally convinced me. For five or six fights, I was like, yeah, but. But now I think this guy is a total package, and that's taking nothing away
from
Rockhold.
So you're
voting
for him because you like his package. You think he's got a nice dick.
He's a little too churchy for me, a little too Jesus-ish, just a little too Jesus-ish. But I'm a fan. I would like to see Weidman win. And I think if he makes quick work of this, I think people will finally start being like, this guy is a fucking legit champion. He's never been beat.
At some point, he beat people. Like, he beat Munoz in his prime. He beat Tom Lawler in his prime.
He's never been beat.
Guys. And then everybody's like, all right, well, let's see what he does against Anderson. And then whatever happened there happened. But then after that, he beat Machida by decision, and he fucking beat up Belfort.
Beat him up.
Stop set, like, who else do you have to beat for people to go, oh, he's our guy? Luke Rockhold, to me,
is
not as
beat.
Big a test as Vitor Belfort was, or nearly Anderson Silva, or even Mark Munoz.
I understand what you're saying. You're right. One guy's resume is much better than the other. But what I do think, and I'm not saying I'm voting for Rockhold. Yeah, I'm not going to announce it until the end of this 20-minute rant I'm about to go on. But I think there is moments where Weidman gets rocked. And I've seen him get rocked. It wasn't against Anderson Silva. It was against Vitor Belfort. He got in a little trouble. And he got in a little trouble against Machida, where he got hit and he got a little rocked. And they're like older with a lot of miles on him, whereas Luke Rockhold doesn't have those kind of miles. And I like Luke Rockhold's striking, and I like his ability to strike everywhere and is good everywhere. I am going on a limb, and I am saying that we will see a new light. What is this?
Middleweight.
Middleweight champ.
Will you take money on that, Sam? Will you go to bet?
I'm not going bag of bets on it because I do think it's close. I wouldn't be surprised if Weidman won.
Think he's going to win and the odds are in like against him, then it's like, well, there's no reason not to make that bet.
I am going to make that bet.
Bag of bets?
I'm going to bet Edgar. I'm going to bet Rockhold. And I'm going to bet Aldo.
Wow. And parlay it?
Yeah.
I think that's money in the bank.
Yeah. So that's my whole thing. Ari, who are you taking?
That's Gabe the
I'm
banker.
Taking Aldo because it's like...
No,
honestly,
no, we're not there yet. Finish this one.
Oh, I'm taking Weidman.
Who are you taking?
I gotta go Luke Rockhold.
What are the odds on this one?
Hold on. I just had it. Here it is. Oh, Luke Rockhold. It is. Oh, odds. Sorry. Plus 125 for Rockhold.
All right.
So if you bet 100, you're taking home 225.
I think I'm gonna go with it, dude.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if you think that's Aldo's plus 107, and I put him at like minus 125, 130.
Wow.
So I'm definitely taking that.
I'm taking. So let's get to the final fight. We're all excited for it. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the world's different. No matter who wins this fight, it's a different MMA world.
Agreed.
A king is dead or a loudmouth could shut up. Either way, which way the UFC wants this to go, without a doubt.
Yeah.
They want McGregor.
I still don't see McGregor having won the marquee fights yet.
Sure. Agreed.
I mean, he did go through a couple guys.
I'll just run it down. Marcus Brimage, Max Holloway.
Max Holloway's a good fight.
Holloway's solid.
That's a good fight. He's the fifth ranked guy in this weight class. So he's not Aldo, but that is a good win.
All right, decision, but sure. Diego Brandão, Conor McGregor.
That's a good fight.
Nah, those aren't marquee. That's just okay.
Dustin Poirier.
That's a good fight.
Come on, man.
That's a good fight. That guy was up for a possible title fight at one point.
Yeah, but that's not when he fought fucking Conor McGregor.
I think that's
the quality of people that Aldo has gone through,
without a doubt,
in the last 5 years. I mean, he has closed out this division
without a doubt.
Over two times around. A lot of these people, he's beaten two times, not just once, but they came back and got it again.
Here's who Aldo's beaten this time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kenny Florian in 2011.
Great.
When it mattered.
Great.
Chad Mendez.
Great.
Frankie Edgar.
Great.
Chang Sung Jong.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I just don't like Asians.
Oh. Ricardo Lamas, Chad Mendez again.
Lamas.
Just like, I don't know, man. He's fighting top level people.
Top.
Aldo is, if he wins this, he's cleaned out the division, and it's time to move to 155.
If he wins.
I mean, who else is left?
My only question about Aldo. I think Aldo will win, and I think a lot of people just forgot about what a fucking badass he is because he hasn't fought in a while. Is he healthy?
Yeah.
Is this guy 100%? Because I think McGregor can beat an 80% Aldo. I don't think he can beat a 100% Aldo.
I will agree with that. Let me just say something real quick. I think McGregor's best chance is in rounds 4 and 5. Because
Aldo, you mean?
No, McGregor's. Really? And the reason I say that is that if you watch a couple of Aldo's fights, he slows down in the fourth. Uriah Faber, he slowed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That Canadian guy, who the fuck, with the machine that was killing everybody, and then his trainer died, and then he fell off. Like, you saw him murdering people and then slowing down at the end.
Yeah.
Almost like he has pity on how bad he's destroying these guys.
Right.
You know, that's where I think if McGregor has a chance, it's at the end, getting into the fourth and fifth rounds, where Aldo tends to slow down, and that's his best chance. But that's it. I think McGregor, I mean, you see those legs?
I almost take...
And his stance he does? Fuck.
But the cut in his face.
I almost...
Aldo's face, he doesn't care.
I almost think...
Because he can't remember somebody's name.
I almost think the opposite's true. I almost think Aldo has way more experience in the championship rounds. But I don't know, man. I mean, this is going to be a fucking fantastic fight and a fantastic card.
Let's go on our – let's make our predictions. Jason Tebow.
I think Aldo wins 3-2, and I think McGregor's right leg, because he fights southpaw – his right inside thigh is going to look like an eggplant. He normally throws that outside leg kick, but because McGregor fights southpaw, it's going to be an inside leg kick. And I think his inside of his right leg is going to look like a fucking eggplant
by
round
three. So who are you taking?
I'm taking Aldo 3-2.
But you say it goes to the end.
I think decision 3-2.
Ari.
I'd take Aldo 3-1 or 2-1.
Okay, so you think he finishes him?
Yeah, I think he's going to leave him in the octagon the way you left us on the podcast last week. No explanation, just finished it.
Okay.
Just in a demonstrative fashion.
Aaron, who do you got? And then we'll go to the Mexican. You don't give a fuck.
Aldo, knockout round four.
Round four. Okay.
I don't see knockout. I think he's going to submit him. I think he'll take him down eventually and like wear him down.
He has that fucking anger that Sam Tripoli has when it comes to wanting to fight you.
Yeah.
You know, like Sam normally, if he gets in and, you know, he does the fucking Jason Ellis thing, whoever he's fighting, he's going to go at it. He's going to be fucking mad and Sam's going to give his best. But if it's you across the ring from him, there's going to be a fucking fifth gear for Sam because he wants to punch you in the face so fucking bad.
So fucking
Aldo
bad.
Aldo wants to punch this guy in the face so bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm gonna go Aldo, and I think it's gonna be a round three.
Submission knockout.
Knockout.
TKO.
You're going Aldo? No, I thought you were going to McGregor before.
No. I'm going Aldo.
Yeah, the problem is he just hasn't fought very much. By the way, just so you know,
let's get the fans real quick while Ari talks about something. Go on.
Max Holloway, when he lost to Conor McGregor, that was his third loss in six fights.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're on the air with Punch Drunk.
Oh, my God. You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah, welcome, dude.
Wouldn't kid you,
no.
buddy. Yes, it
oh,
is.
Oh, Sam, I love you guys. I love you, Ari, and Jason Tebow. No shit.
Who's
love
this?
You too,
what's
buddy?
Your name?
My name is Mario. I don't want to say my last name because...
Okay. Okay. So what's up, Mario? Are you excited about the UFC fight?
I was just... honestly, I'm not tuning in because I'm barely on my way back home because...
Sounds like just spit it out,
I was
bro.
Listening to... Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
I was listening to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank with Jason Tebow.
Oh,
about
oh
the
nice.
Whole relapse thing and
sure.
Being an alcoholic because that's what I wanted to call into.
Okay. You wanted to call in the you Skeptic to... Tank?
No. But yeah, hey, the dog, 189 episode. It just happened. This motherfucker's just been on my mind. Is he there? Is the Teeb?
Teeb's here, buddy.
Everybody's
that's
here.
Me. We're all here.
We even got a Mexican.
I love all you guys. You guys give me inspiration to keep sober. But you know what? I have a problem. Like I'm a chronic relapser as well.
Yeah, me too.
I just wanted to ask you guys, like, what keeps you motivated to I know I need it, and I just want to keep going, working at it, even though if I keep relapsing.
Sure.
But what motivates you guys?
Let me tell you something, man. If you really want to get it, you know, relapse isn't necessarily got to be part of it, but it is, especially for me. I don't know about Tebow, but for me.
What do you mean you don't know about
Tebow?
Well,
I don't want to speak for you unless you want to say it. You know, relapse is bad for me, but the key is to get back on the horse and show up all the time.
Yeah.
Guys who stay around, guys who stick around, stay around. And that's a really big thing. And the key is to put a little space between you and the last drink, you and the last hit off the pipe, you and the last line, and you and the last fucking needle, whatever your thing is. It's you put a little space between you and that. Stay in the middle of the herd, dude. Go to meetings. No. Stay in the middle of the herd. Be around people who are dealing with the same thing you are. You can't do it on your own, you know?
I know.
You got to be around.
I enthral myself into the program and everything, and I've done all the 12 steps, but I get like 30 days or like 60 days or 90 days, and I go and fuck everything up.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Why? Because something's going on in your head, and you don't want to be alone by yourself. And
you're
tired of
that's very true.
The overanalyzing of your life by every moment by your head, and you just want to fucking break. But what you start to realize when you got a little time is that whatever is causing you to go out is not going away. And it's only compounding itself. But now you lost your sobriety date, your sobriety time, and you got to start all over, and it gets depressing, you know?
Also, dude.
I have no problem coming back, and I don't have the shame. Well, I do. I do and I don't. Like, it's weird. I can't explain it. You guys should know what I'm feeling like.
Sure.
That's why we're together. That's why it's a program.
For sure, dude. Mario, let me tell you something. A day is worth a year. A day is worth 10 years. 24 hours is fucking an amazing thing to have. And it's good to start putting those together. And you got to deal with everything on a day-to-day basis. It isn't about...
Can I ask you one question? Do you find it harder when everything is going good? When it gets harder, right?
Yes. You want to celebrate.
That's when it's that can be really that can be really tricky because your head will tell you that you got it.
Dude, every Sunday I go to a meeting on Fairfax and Fountain. Every Saturday at 12:30 I go to a meeting Fairfax and Fountain Pink Church at 12:30. I'd love to have you come down and hang out with me. We got to go to other people.
Sure. I've tried everything, man. Like I go to
Mario. Come hang out with me. Come hang out with me.
And dude, hang on real quick.
Hold on. Can you repeat that? Let me write that down. Fairfax and what?
Fountain Pink Church, 12:30 every Saturday.
Also, send me a message on Twitter, bro.
Facebook us.
So I have your info, and then I'll talk to you off air, man.
All right, dude.
Glad to help.
We got to go.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Thank you for taking my call, man.
All right, anytime, buddy. Hit me up.
Dog. Hey, I'm calling about a podcast from a year ago, dog.
Hey, I want to talk to you guys about the Crab Feast.
Hey, guys, stop making fun of my cousin.
I'm a big fan of Fighter and the Kid. I thought I'd call in the Punch Drunk and talk about that episode you did in 99.
Hey,
is this Fighter and the Chulo?
480, you're on with a Mexican, a Jew, a white trash, and an Armo.
What's up? This is Chris from Arizona, long time, first time.
Long time.
I just wanted to call in and tell Teeb, dude, I absolutely think you're one of the best on this show.
Thank you, buddy.
Last week you were a little upset, and I just wanted to say I actually enjoy your commentary, especially on football. Oh. And I think you got a really original position. I'm a huge fan of Ari, so I'm a little biased there. Sam, you're a great guy, but I feel like you're always bringing it back to the naughty show, man. This is a sports podcast.
What are you talking
about? Just love talking
okay.
about those trainees.
I get it, dude. That's a great point. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Enjoy the 4 years of free fucking thing. There you go. Free entertainment, boss. There
I feel
you
like
go.
You got him out of there before that went awry.
No.
remember the guy from Arizona that called and you just
four,
had that
two,
meltdown?
Three.
That was uncalled for. I think the fans just want to know what happened last week and they're
blushing. Four, two, three. What's the word?
I just called in for Sam's formal apology to the faithful for last week.
For what? What?
Your formal apology to the people?
To the who? Okay.
To the people.
To the people.
I'm here for the formal apology of the people.
Okay. 812. You're out with Punch, Drunk Sports.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, bud. How are you?
You sound sad.
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Who's this?
I really don't want to give my name for Tebow's sake.
Okay. Oh, I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
It's your mom, Tebow.
My mom has a deeper voice than that.
Oh, just in case Sam forgets in a little bit.
Okay.
That's how you sneak it in. That one was good.
Just know
that was good.
My name is on the phone.
I'm so sorry, Sam. I'm
go
so
on.
Sorry for how much
seven,
I'm laughing.
He didn't say it. Go on, 776.
Hello, well, you're on the air.
Where are you
yeah.
from?
All right, what's up, guys? It's Freddie. I'm calling from the back.
Calling from where?
From Vegas.
Oh, what's up, Freddie? How are you?
Good. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. I'm going to be at the Dirty at 12:30 this week.
I'm going to see you there, bro.
Oh, awesome. Always a pleasure. What's the word?
Hey, bro, I wanted to see if you guys, I don't know if you talked about it, but about this rapper named Stitches that got knocked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Stitches is literally the dumbest human being on the planet. I mean, you ever listen to his fucking rap? It's so retarded.
No idea.
Did you hear his excuse, his response to why happened?
Why he got knocked out? Because he's a dumb motherfucker? What'd he say?
He said that it's because the game paid off all of his boys to beat him up.
He's such an idiot. Have you ever listened to him? He's like, man, you don't got to listen to your parents. You don't got to listen to anybody. Do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, you have Stitches? You have tattoos of Stitches on your face. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
He actually has Stitches on the mugshot now.
Yeah.
Real Stitches.
He's an idiot, dude. He's like this thing of like lowest common denominator attention whore.
But it's like if you're dumb enough to name your rapper name Stitches and then somebody gives you fucking Stitches, you should be grateful.
Yeah. It's like, is there some weird kind of street credibility?
My new rapper name is Pussy on my face.
So funny.
That's a good rap.
Thanks, buddy.
He claims he got sucker punched.
He didn't get sucker punched. He fucking talked shit. He got knocked out.
How do you get a sucker punch when you're walking directly in the same direction of the punch that's coming from the other guy? I'm not a sucker punch.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, it's so stupid. Hey, Freddie, we got a jam. I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, see you there, bro.
All right, bud.
Thanks
Take
for calling,
care.
Dude.
Peace.
All right, you're on with Punch Drunk Sports, Arshfear, Mexican, White Trash, and Arma.
Day of calls.
This is John from Utah.
Hey,
but
John.
Hey, well, when you guys switch to Ari's camera on the live stream, it should probably have his balls in there somewhere instead of his headshot.
Oh, I like that.
That's a good thought.
Okay.
Thank you. Constructive criticism for the show.
I like
that. Greatly appreciate it. Anything else, buddy?
Probably not.
Love you, dog. Gotta love you, dog.
The best.
650. It's a day of calls.
Video.
Hello?
How are you, man? You're calling in. You're 650. Call in. Talk to us. Were you the Jew, a Mexican, white trash, and an Armo?
Hey,
Yeah.
What's going on?
Why'd you walk off the podcast?
Oh, guys, we gotcha. Next up.
Yeah, these people want to know.
Dude, next up. This is the funniest day.
You are on 732. How are you?
Didn't see this coming.
Hello?
I knew this was going to happen. Yeah.
Hey,
Okay, I knew where that was going. Just to let you know, I'm itchy. I'm itchy trigger finger right now.
Maybe I should take over all the hang-ups.
Shut up.
Let's hear what these people have to say at least, Sam. They want to know.
Okay, just to let you know, I got itchy trigger finger. We have, hold on, I got too many people on right now.
I seriously am about to cry.
Hey, 204, what's the word?
What's going on, Sam? What's going on, T? What's going on, Ari?
How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Florida, right?
Say hi to the Mexican.
From Winnipeg, boys. Oh, Mexicans there, too. How's it going?
Yeah, Winnipeg. Congratulations on the Grey Cup.
Yeah, so you guys figure out what a red black is.
Yeah, we did. Well, once we had the Mexican not looking it up, it all worked out.
Really doesn't matter. They weren't going to beat Edmonton.
That's okay. So what's the word, dude?
Ari, Pelicans. Why are they sucking so bad?
Great question.
Massive injuries. Well, they're not really a deep team. They really only went like three deep, and they're massively injured this year.
Their bench is awful.
And honestly, they're four games out of the playoffs. I think we're still fine.
Their bench is awful. Their bench is full of guys that fucking flamed out on other teams and really shouldn't be in the NBA.
Their GM is really bad. They make these Trevor Ariza-type moves and trades that are like, what are you doing? Just keep the draft pick, you fucking idiot.
Horrible. Horrible.
Other than Anderson, that team's like got nothing on the bench. They're terrible.
Well, they just gotta get rid of Gordon. That'll free up a lot of space.
Drew Holiday should be great, but he just always hurt. That guy is a legit all-star.
Yeah, he's
but
hurt.
But hey, Tyreek's hurt. Do you want to make the playoffs, or would you love to suck for Simmons?
No. I want to make the playoffs.
I'd like to suck for cash, and I'm putting that out on the internet.
Well, my question for you guys: did you watch Raptors Clippers or Warriors game?
Yeah.
I did.
Yep.
What do you think of Lowry? Is Lowry underrated?
Yes, completely. He's transformed
his
game.
That game. You're going to say, did you watch that game and say he's underrated? His best game ever and say he's underrated?
No.
He's really
underrated
good.
In the league, Ari. I'm just saying, did you watch him play that game?
Completely underrated, dude.
Of course you're going to say he's underrated, but that's not like always.
We got jammed, dude. Thanks for calling in. We love Canada. Next up, one more call before we wrap it up. 917, next door to Ari Shaffir. What up?
Damn, why is such a...
Oh, okay. One more call. Bam. Next up, here we go.
Damn, what?
704, how are you? You're on with Punch Drunk Sports.
Why did you hang up on me?
Okay. I'm having a great time. Here we go. Literally the last
person. Tell the people why you walked off last week.
425. Why are you here? Why are you calling?
Hey, what's up? What do you guys think? Who's the NFL Rookie of the Year? Thomas Rawls and C. Hart?
Offense or defense?
Offense. Thomas Rawls, baby. That's my pick.
Probably came on a little too late, but I do like Rawls, and I think he really has made Beast Mode expendable. I mean, he's putting up the exact same kind of numbers for $300,000 versus $11 million. I think offensive rookie. I think that
it was been really busy with people trying to control.
Okay, there we go. That was fun. Ari, did you have a good time? Did you have a good time? Did you have fun?
Literally, there's three calls that were like the best. I that was perfect.
So I want to end the show really quickly.
In answer to that, let me answer that question real quick because I didn't. And I'm sure people will tweet at me and say I didn't answer it. I think offensive rookie of the year, a lot of people think Gurley. But I think Gurley's kind of taken a skid. And I've been extremely impressed in the last 4 weeks with Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston can finish this season strong, I would not be shocked if Jameis Winston won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Fuck, Defensive Rookie of the Year is a tough one. I mean, nobody's really overly killing it for me. I'll have to think about Defensive Rookie of the Year. But I think Gurley 3 weeks ago was a lock for it, and I think Winston's making a push.
Go on.
And that's it.
Well... it was a great show today. Thank you guys calling in. It was pretty obvious that was going to happen.
I expected that. You guys watch what you wish for.
I apologize for laughing so good.
No, it's all good. I knew it was going to happen. Watch what you wish for. That's all I got to say is watch what you wish for. You know, before you know it, this show could be gone. And then you'll be fucking bitching and moaning. I bust my hump on this fucking show. So I love you guys. Any last thoughts? All right, Tebow.
Consider it sucked. Thank you guys for always listening. If I see you in person, I'll suck you sideways.
We're going to go out with this song. I'd like to play it all. This goes out to Andrew Mata. You are missed. You are loved. You are one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I'm devastated that you are no longer with us. And thank you, everybody. Enjoy Fight Weekend. We'll see you in a few.